Hi everybody, Editor Travis from the future. Just want to note that we recorded this at the end of March, so some of our sentiments and information that we have on some of the current events that we talk about may be a bit outdated. We hope that some of the things we talk about transcend the timing of all things. Also wanted to apologize for the audio sounding a little weird. We were experimenting with some new equipment that we got. One of those work in progress kind of things. Anyways, on with the show.
Hey everybody, we're back. Another awesome episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis, everybody. Welcome.
How have you been, man?
Oh, doing all right. Time of recording. Yesterday, I got back from WonderCon.
WonderCon. Nice. Yeah. How was that?
Oh, this was pretty nice. Bizarrely, I actually went to a panel celebrating the 25th anniversary of The Emperor's New Groove.
Has it been 25 years since that movie? I saw that in theaters, dude. Mm-hmm.
It was December of 2000 when that released.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a few people that work behind the scenes on that movie talking about the complicated history of how that film came to be. Because originally it was supposed to be like a very sincere musical a la The Lion King, and then
that's what it was originally supposed to be?
Yes, it was. It was supposed to be a sincere musical epic, and then bizarrely, it got turned into a buddy comedy.
Yeah, it's just a complete buddy comedy about one ass and just a dude who's a family man.
Yeah.
Wow, that is such a... Because there's no musical numbers except the opening one, right?
Yeah, except the theme song guy.
Wow. That's... Wow, that what a... I wonder what how that turned, like why they...
Yeah, it's...
Because not gonna lie, I'd like to hear John Goodman sing. That'd have been kind of cool.
I, of course, got to hang out with some of my friends in my Star Trek costume club, which they had a booth there, and their booth was, like, with a bunch of other costume club booths. So, like, there's been costume clubs like the 501st, where they dress up like stormtroopers. There's, like, the Brown Coats, there's the Rogue Squadron, there's a Mandalorian dress-up club. There's apparently a costume club for the Colonial Marines as seen in Alien.
That's cool. I mean, they're really cool. They got cool gear. That's awesome. Do they have a division number, a company number? Or
they did. It was like the California... I forget what it was.
But they had a name.
They had a name. Had so a I'm name. Assuming That's they have cool. a couple of charters. And, of course, there's a Ghostbusters club.
Of course, yeah. Didn't the 501st... they were in The Mandalorian Season 1 in finale, right?
I think they were... It was either the Mandalorian... It was either the 501st or it was, like, the Mandalorian... Because there's, like, costume... Because what 501st is just... So they might be... So it might have been the 501st for, like, the Stormtroopers, because they're very big on screen-accurate
stuff.
Armor.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then same with, like...
there's a bunch. I know there's a bunch. There's, like, Lord of the Rings, too, and even all that. Harry Potter. Well, that's cool, man. Well, I'm glad you had a fun weekend. Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, also, too, folks, just so you know, we got new equipment. In case you hear kind of a different background noise, we're mobile.
We're trying out these new microphones. We're actually riding around in Tom's car right now.
Yeah, we're just driving around the beautiful city of Cyprus right now. And hopefully this works out because it'd be kind of nice to, like, you know, be just more mobile with this. So we're not just stationary at a desk. Yeah. Want to try something new. So we hope you folks enjoy this different vibe of the podcast. Because today, speaking of being on the go a lot and moving around, Travis, I know you had a big idea for this great episode of ours. And give us the launch codes. What are we talking about today, man?
Well, I was just thinking about how being in America right now feels like living in a country run by a guy playing Civilization, like the computer game. Have you ever played Sid Meier's Civilization?
So I played, I think, Civ 5
okay.
or Civilization 6, one of the two. I kind of got bored with it because I'm like, oh, I would just rather play the board game Risk. That's just me. But I played it. I know my cousin's a big fan of it. He plays it all. He's played every single one. He's caught it. Like, he buys them all. He plays them all. And I get the whole concept is basically just you start on this corner of the world, your enemies start on the other parts of the globe. Like, it's a global game. And it's basically the first one to get all the tiles wins.
Well, it's like you start off as, like, a hunter-gatherer stage. And as you play, your society evolves, grows more advanced, as well as the other empires and nations around you. And you try to
you know, work with the other nations, or maybe you just want to conquer them. You do whatever you want to become the most supreme superpower out of all of them. Typically, a typical game of Civ ends when someone wins the space race and has goes to the moon or has space station satellites in the air.
And that's how you win.
And that's how you win. You become right. The supreme superpower, and yeah.
Yeah, because I think when my, again, I think it was Civilization 5 or 6, when my cousin was towards his ending of his playthrough, he basically sent a planetary spaceship cruiser out into the far reaches of space with a colony.
That's how he won.
But okay. It was funny, when he was conquering, he said the last two nations, he basically had stealth bombers dropping bombs on basically people with bows and arrows. So I was like, oh shit, yep. Like, is that where it goes?
Part of the way you advance is you got to get resources, and sometimes there are certain resources you can't get to within your own borders, so maybe you gotta trade with another country and like negotiate open access and stuff like that. Of course, when I played Civ 5, that's the only one I've ever played, but when I played Civ 5, I often just kind of bided my time until I could see if I could conquer them, because it's a lot easier to control if you just conquer another piece of land. Now, mind you, so this is a video game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm
this
like,
isn't real life.
Yet? I feel like we're going towards real life right now.
Well, okay. Well, here's the interesting thing about Civ, and this is where I get very philosophical mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah.
Civ operates in a very kind of romantic, modernist mindset of the world. View of the world where it's like progress is a constant march. And of course, the literal logic of playing Civ is if you yourself are some sort of god emperor that rules over your land for thousands of years, like you're Leto Atreides II, as seen in the fourth Dune book. Yeah, you're the worm god.
Okay.
So, but because it's like, oh, you're making all these decisions that would really in real life like reverberate for thousands of years. Yeah, you're leading your nation on the golden path. So I mentioned modernism. Of course, the response to modernism is postmodernism, and postmodernism, in terms of the view of progress, it does not view progress as a steady march.
All right.
There are backlashes, there are relapses and setbacks, there are ebbs and flows and
cause and effects of anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. It's like, okay, you know, in the 19th century, we had our little manifest destiny thing where we're like, hey, the United States should span both coasts. And we were in a very conquest heavy mood. Oh, we were really all about that imperialism. They don't teach that in your history books, but that's what we were doing.
Well, as we all know, no country, the majority of every human country on this planet is built off the pillars of bones and death.
Oh yes, absolutely. And now, like, you know, we still kind of like that imperialism, although lately we're a little less obvious about it. Now it's like, oh, we don't want to control your country outright. We just want to like be friends with you, influence you, and back in the Cold War, make sure you don't fall for the evils of communism.
Subliminal messages.
So, but now this new presidency we got, the second term of Donald J. Trump. Trump has been openly talking about, hey, we should like annex Greenland, even though Denmark owns it. But we should have Greenland and we should have Canada because fuck it, why not? I don't know. I have no idea where this comes from. I don't know if this is just sort of Trump looking at a map and like, well, I hate Mexico. Mexico's a shithole, which means I don't want that. But Canada's pretty nice. And Greenland, hey, global warming is making Greenland into a nicer place. So, and there's going to be easier shipping routes now that there's going to be a lot less Arctic ice. Yeah, you know. Fuck it, we should have Greenland.
So we're going to get 51 and 52 states now?
50 or...
Yeah, 51 how many, and 52.
How many provinces are in Canada?
Oh, true. So maybe about another...
61 states.
So an extra 5 states?
Well, either that, it's like we get additional states, or we just call them ginormous territories.
More Puerto Rico.
Yeah, more Puerto Rico. There's a reason we haven't made Puerto Rico a state yet. It's easier to fuck with.
Didn't speaking of Greenland, didn't I see on the news, at the time of recording, what's today's date? The 31st, right?
It's the 31st,
so,
yeah.
Time of recording, yeah, so I think it was this past Sunday, Didn't I hear on the news that he said to the, you know, what's there? Is there a president? Is Denmark is a president, right? Or is it a chancellor?
I think it's a prime minister. So
the prime minister of Denmark, didn't Trump say, you know, military force was not off the table involving Greenland?
Yeah, he did say that.
And what made me chuckle at work when I saw that, I'm like, well, the sad funny thing about that is that'd be actually the first war we'd ever win since 45, because we haven't won jack shit since 45. So I guess there's that, because Greenland doesn't have any army or anything.
I was watching the speech that J.D. Vance gave.
He went to Greenland. That's right.
He went to Greenland with his wife, and nobody in Greenland wanted to talk to him.
No one could talk to him?
No. They actually had U.S. officials go door-to-door to, like, people's homes saying, hey, would you like to meet the U.S. vice president? Everyone said no. So he couldn't do photo ops with anyone. So J.D. Vance does the speech from our military base. Because, of course, we have a military base in Greenland. Technically, Denmark is an ally. Greenland's an ally.
You know it's an ally when you have a military base there.
Yeah, yeah. If you're America, yeah, exactly. So he's giving this speech, and he's talking about, like, we need to annex Greenland to help with U.S. national security, which I'm like, first of all, we have what is the point of the military base there? That's why we have the military base. And who's threatening us? From the Atlantic. Because it's not Russia, or so they say, so the government wants to say, because we're friends with Russia now.
Actually, no. Speaking of that, though, did you hear that Trump's very upset and angry with Putin right now? He's very pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to blame now Putin for no peace. Not Zelensky. Now it's Putin's fault.
Okay. I guess that's true to Trump. He's loyal to no one but himself.
Okay, but so anyway, sorry for that cutaway, but we're at Greenland with a military base.
Yeah, and so it's all a bunch of bullshit. It's like, okay, I guess having Greenland would be nice to have full total control of shipping passages there.
Yeah.
Even though, I don't know, it would be a lot easier, a lot less destructive and costly if we could just negotiate treaties about that and trade agreements about that sort of thing. We don't have to worry about Greenland being threatened by anyone other than us, because we're the threat here. We didn't have to be, but we just decided we're going to be the threat.
So what you're telling me right now, that the next Civilization game will have an American DLC?
This is the logic of playing Civ. It's like, oh, you know, I could enjoy this nice trade deal with this city-state and enjoy this friendship, but you know what?
I like a flag here.
I want full control over everything. It would help me towards the end goal of towards winning the game when I get to the end point of the game. That this is the logic of playing Civ, which I remind you, is a game.
So you know that saying recently in the past couple of years that people will say, like, wow, it's a South Park episode now. Like, real life is a South Park episode. Now, real life is a video game.
Real life is a South... Yeah, real life... Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those DLCs are becoming so lifelike. That is insane, too, because, one, at this point in our species' history, except for, as we know, the bottom of the ocean is barely discovered, as we know, the depths of our oceans. But overall, I'm saying the land, when it comes to our land masses, at this point in our nation's history, like, there's nothing undiscovered. We mapped out every grid. Everyone has a map. Everyone has a grid. Everyone has their little spaces and nooks. And
we've eliminated the fog of war, to use, again, Civ terminology.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. But then, so what's the point at this point now to expand our borders to what end? Because that's what we're...
To make rich donors even richer, so that we could, you know, to make, you know, shipping companies richer, to make resource extractors richer. And then the point of making themselves richer is that they can buy themselves climate-proof homes and communities so that they can be safe from
the bullshit.
Burning to death while we all burn to death. The rest of us do.
You know what? This is just like Network. There is no third world. There is no America. There is no West or East. There's just, you know, DuPont, the Dow, and like all these.
Well, yeah, he names these companies that aren't as big anymore.
Well, the movie Network. Yeah, I know, but basically.
There's just Amazon, Google,
YouTube, Netflix, Sony. And McDonald's,
BlackRock, Goldman Sachs.
So that's where we're at now, and we're a bit of a network now too. In the movie, we may be putting boots on the ground in Greenland because I guess we need to. Mm-hmm. Is there any what in all seriousness, even though this is a stupid, just horrible idea and planning, what does Greenland even benefit to us besides that we already have a military base there? I mean, the only thing I know about Greenland isn't where all that... The only thing I know about Greenland is that isn't that where, like, that seed deposit bank is for the globe? The global seed deposit bank? Is it? I think that's all I know about Greenland is, like, the seed deposit bank. It's either that or it's Iceland. It's one of those two. It's one of those two countries that's where this the global seed bank is in case shit hits the fan and we need to start our agricultural again because you know the apocalypse.
Maybe.
Just a correction: the global seed deposit bank is actually located in a collection of islands or an archipelago called Svalbard. Svalbard. It's known as the Svalbard Global Sea Vault, and it's actually under the jurisdiction of Norway, not Denmark, let alone Greenland.
But beyond that, what is there? Like the movie Greenland, is there bunkers?
Supposedly, there's like oil and minerals that Denmark has been slow to extract. But you know, since we're America, we're gonna get on that strip mining project right away.
We need them minerals.
Yeah, it's
what is this, uncut gems?
This is just like a dick swinging land grab, is what it is. And I don't know. Well, Trump is a mentally insane person. It seems redundant to point that out, but some people still have trouble realizing that. And it's because he's a mentally insane person. He has severe senility. When he started talking about this Greenland Canada crap, I just kind of thought, like, well, this is one of those crazy things he'll say and he'll forget about it after a while and focus on, because I don't know, he'll realize it's too hard and you know, might require use of force. And Trump has always been kind of force averse. He doesn't like getting into global conflicts.
Yeah, but didn't he say this 4 months ago? Now he's bringing it up again 4 months later?
Yeah, so I don't know. He's also not well in the head, so I guess I can't trust him to be consistent.
Has any president really been well in the head for our nation's history?
Definitely, Biden wasn't. His brain was like turning into calcium in front of us, if it hadn't already.
It wasn't Jell-O. It wasn't us liquidating. It was solidifying.
I think I could say, not saying that he was like always a good person or always did the right thing. I think we could probably say Obama is a very well-educated man. I think he put a lot of thought into the decisions he made. Not saying they were the right decisions all the time. But I think you could say Obama was well in the head, medically speaking. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Just like sort of medically speaking there. So I don't think we've really had that since the Obama administration. Because since then, we've kept electing the oldest president in history. Trump the first time, then Obama, then Biden, excuse me, then Trump the second time.
We like them old, I guess.
We love them old. We love them old men.
The MILF category from porn really exploded onto our presidency. Gotta have them older, right?
The DILF category.
The DILF category.
There we go.
No, it went to GILF, now it's grandpa's.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fair. I guess depends on how old you are. If they're old enough to be your dad or your grandpa.
Does it get you hard the older they are? We might have a couple new states. So that's where it sounds like we're going.
Some nice new ski resorts that I can go to without a passport.
Does Greenland have ski resorts?
I don't know.
I know Canada does.
I know it's cold and snowy there. I just figured.
I feel like it's more hiking terrain.
Okay.
It's ice.
All right. Well, I don't know. I thought they do have mountains. I don't know. I don't know anything about the economy of Greenland.
I just never knew they had skiing. I just know like there's just ice and I think possible polar bears because it's up north.
Yeah. And,
okay, that's awesome. So we have that. Well, at least we have a new golf. I mean, that's all. I guess that's all that matters. Don't you feel more like, yay, I'm happy to be an American that we just changed a body of water for no reason at all. I can pay my taxes with a smile. Because it's tax season right now, folks, time of recording. So I was really happy to pay my taxes knowing that the Gulf of America is that thing now.
There's something very quaint and old-fashioned about fascist imperialism kind of going back to conquest, you know, for the past couple of decades as the resurgence of the far right across the world has occurred. It's always been kind of an isolationist thing where it's like, oh, you know, we don't want to deal with other countries. We just want to deal at home. And, of course, as the old saying goes, fascism is colonialism. Come home. So it's actually been kind of refreshing that to have a wannabe fascist regime where we want to conquer other lands. It's like, ah, you know, it's the 1940s all over again.
Let's creep up. Go down the back street. The generate cities. Take to the back streets. Let's creep up. Let's go.
But that does not mean that it hasn't, that we still don't have like this bullshit comb. And I wanted to bring upon a question.
Sure.
To you. And by proxy, your audience. We have this thing called civil rights. Some of them are outlined in the Bill of Rights, and then some of them are outlined in laws that are not in the Constitution and therefore are vulnerable to judicial interpretation of the Constitution, which is code for judges can just say whatever the fuck they want and say that's constitutional or that's not constitutional.
See, I call that just being a dick. I'm curious about the question.
I won't argue against that. Do you think said civil rights, should they apply to every single person within the country that those rights are protected? Or should they only apply to the people with citizenship in this country?
Now, by citizenship, you don't mean natural born, that bullshit. You just mean just having a citizenship.
Well, however the country defines citizenship, shall we say. In this case, to make it easier, we'll talk about the United States.
Okay.
In the United States, so if you've been naturalized into a citizenship or you were born in this country, for however that's legit.
I'd say no, only because those who are coming into this country to either live here or work, for example, could be a business trip. If you're not going to be subject, basically put up to the same standard of law that anyone who lives in this land is, we shouldn't allow you in here because legally we're not going to. You legally need to be held to the same standard and the same protection at that point. So if you're not going to be that, you shouldn't be allowed in here because we all have to follow the same rules. So for example, just to make it a simple explanation, Germany, the Autobahn. You know how fast you can go down that fucking thing? Like you can go yeah, almost 90 miles an hour in the Autobahn, and that's like minimum.
Yeah.
Name a highway in this country where you can legally go 90 miles an hour.
What, like, do the speed is the speed limit?
The speed limit is 90 miles an hour. Like, okay, for the Autobahn, you can even go higher.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, if a German came over here on our highway, it was like 91. Here I go. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I mean is, I say yes, you get,
so
you get
they're held to the same restrictions as the rest of us.
Yeah, because you're here.
Now, what about the same protection? Exact freedoms as the rest of us? Are they free? Let's say, it's funny you mentioned Germany. Let's just go make it super obvious. Okay, let's say it's a German in this country and they are here on like a work visa or whatever.
Yeah,
and let's just say they express Nazi opinions. They're not doing Nazi things. They're not committing terror attacks. They're not killing people. They're not attacking people on the streets. They're just saying that they hate Jews. Do they have the same constitutional right as the rest of us to say, I hate Jews?
Yes, because a lot of Americans do that.
Okay.
So why would it be different because someone from...
Okay.
Someone from... basically the source saying they hate Jews.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, because how many Americans here have on a podium at some park or marching down the street in any part of this country has said, you know, yeah, hey, those ovens were a good idea. So
yeah,
what would be the difference if we allow us to say it? Because here's the thing. What if that one German joined those group of Americans saying that?
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to get that guy out of all of them? They're saying the same fucking thing. They're not hurting anyone physically. They're not attacking anyone physically. Mm-hmm. They're not planning to do physical harm or death. They're just verbally saying, I don't like the Star of David. So I would say, yeah, it goes the same way. Because what if that German joins that group? What, you're just going to bust in there, grab that one guy, walk out? It's like the other ones are doing the same thing.
As abhorrent as it is, I agree with the same sentiment. I believe that if you are in this country and you are, but you're not a citizen, but you know, you're here.
Well, the thing
I don't even care if you're undocumented, you're just here.
But if you're here doing, like, again, being a part of the economy by having a job, you know, working, you're making money for someone while also making money for yourself, like we all do here. You're living here. Hell, you could be a tourist visiting, but living with family. But guess what? You're spending money here. You're generating the economy. In my head, I'm like, it goes the same way at this point because you're a part of the system here. Whether you're the undocumented or not, you're still giving us cash while putting in cash. You know, it's going a vice versa. How many tourists boom our economy from around the world? Hey, whenever, okay, for best example, baseball game. Whenever there's an Asian pitcher or designated hitter at any baseball game, who's in the seats?
Oh, there's
Koreans, Japanese, the Chinese, but from all over the world. They travel for that one game because guess who's on the plate?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Japanese folks that come to Dodger Stadium these days.
And how much is boosting that economy? It goes both ways. If you're not being an asshole, like an American's not being an asshole. For example, when I go to fucking Spain, I'm supposed to keep my fucking mouth shut when I go to Spain? I can't say the same exact thing as that asshole German? That's bullshit.
I don't believe it's a good thing to say you hate Jews or any other minority or whatever, but I do believe in at least that if we are a country that says all political opinions, all opinions are protected. Then that should apply to everyone here. Now, right now, our United States government, our current administration doesn't believe in that, and we are currently invoking...
What? No.
And they're using that as a kind of a smokescreen to start the mass deportation project that Trump has talked about in his campaign. There's one particular case that happened earlier in March, case of Mahmoud Khalil. Mahmoud Khalil was the presumptive leader of a campus college group.
Oh, that's the college guy.
Columbia University. He's the leader of Columbia University Apartheid Divestment. Now, this group was mainly responsible for a lot of the big, highly publicized campus encampment demonstrations that happened at Columbia University last year in response to mass slaughter and violence that Israel has been perpetrating in Gaza in response to the October 7th massacre. He was detained and threatened with deportation by ICE agents. Again, these ICE agents didn't come with a warrant. They were plainclothes. They did not have marked cars, like, you know, that said, like, hey, you know, immigration, the cars that had, like, a logo, immigration, customs, support. No, the only thing that's missing is that he didn't have a black bag put over his head. So,
it's okay.
He
was snatched. He was snatched. Snatch and grab.
He was even taken to a facility far away, like, from New York to Louisiana, just so to limit his access to family and attorney.
They took him down to the bayou.
Yes. To make it harder for him to contact his attorney, get his attorney over.
You know what?
It's a terrible tactic.
You speaking of this, I just remind me, I think they did this to another person, too, they took down to the bayou. So a woman got picked up and taken.
There's been a lot of cases of this since then.
And they're all going to the bayou.
And what they're... Now, one thing they're doing is that they're going after non-U.S. citizens who are in this country... It's not even like...
You're going after students, though, what you're telling me,
right? Students, not just students, but also, like, you know, doctors and other sort of professionals that, you know, at least with... There are certain things you can point to with Khalil that, oh, you know, you could interpret this as being an explicitly pro-Hamas sentiment. U.S. State Department recognizes Hamas as a terrorist organization. But other instances, it's like... You know,
but the guy's talking about the Palestinians. He's not talking about Hamas.
Yeah. He's
not talking about the terrorists. He's talking about the people who are caught between the terrorists and Israel.
Yeah. The only thing is little instances where he says, like, you know, glory to the martyrs that participated in October 7th and stuff like that and whatever. It's a lot of, we can split hairs about that, but that's just like one case. It seems to be like they're using that as a test case to do it to a lot of other people. Ultimately, the plan is to, like, equate pro-Palestinian a human rights speech as pro-terror speech no matter what. And there is a law on the books that's been around since 1952 that they're using to justify that. It's called the McCarran... Well, it's known as the McCarran-Walter Act of 1952. It's formerly known as the Immigration Nationality Act. This was a law that was put in place during the McCarthy era, during the like that Red Scare. And it was a way to limit immigration to the United States, particularly targeting those from Eastern European countries. Because if they're from, because Eastern Europe, Soviet bloc, oh, they might have commie sentiments and they don't want that. This law basically states if you are a foreign person, a non-citizen foreign person in the United States, and you express, you know, endorsement of terror organizations or organizations that threaten the national and foreign policy interests of the United States, your residence here is forfeit.
I like how you said it's not security, it's interest. Yes. Security. It's not security at all. It's just about interest.
Yeah, I think it literally says like the foreign threatens the foreign policy of
money.
Opposes the foreign policy of the United States. Yeah.
It's money.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And this is
security.
Exactly. Because
Hamas can't even get to us. They couldn't. They don't have any way to, you know, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So that says it right there.
Yeah, but you know,
here's the thing though. If he's a student, thinking about this more, he's a student. Why was he allowed to be a student then if this was, you know what I mean? Like in the sense of the stupidity bullshit, he's mm-hmm. a student who has a leadership position in the school.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty much antiquated in America now at this point, in my eyes.
Well, you know, other than in paper. And just full disclosure, I also don't like Hamas as an organization. I would not advocate for them as like, any sort of viable political future for a free Palestine because they are death cult theocrats, okay? I'm not about that sort of thing. I like secularism, okay? And I don't like people that treat the citizens under their governorship as forfeit for, you know, a death cult fight. Not for that. So I'll just put my cards on the table there. If you're an American citizen, and you're out and you're stupidly out on the street saying like glory to Hamas, equating Hamas with the resistance. That is your right. In every much as your right as you can walk around with the swastika and the government won't go after you for it. Now, how other people may react to that.
It's your ass, Mr. Postman.
May not be totally legal because assault is still assault, but that's not the first thing you're going to be worried about. You're going to be worried about the, you know,
but that's
if
between,
you're alive.
That's between people, not the government. That's the difference.
Exactly,
the government's
yes.
a different ballgame than your neighbor just going like, I'm going to fucking throw this at you now.
Yeah, and the funny irony about the McCarran-Walter Act is that, the name Pat McCarran, he was a notable anti-Semite and almost certainly wrote this into law as a way to persecute Jewish people emigrating into the United States from Eastern Europe, probably, trying to find a new life after the Holocaust, because a lot of them would be survivors, since they would have been affected terribly by, the Nazi, the Third Reich during World War II.
And this was during the MacArthur era, right? McCarthy era.
I mean, I guess,
so you already know this guy is already a bullshit dick law because that whole witch hunt during the 50s was just disgusting and awful and had no mm-hmm. justification at all. But then you're telling me about this guy. He came to, we let him into our school. Like, he's a part of it.
Yeah, Khalil.
And the thing is, let's reverse it though. If an American was in any part of any country in the world and was just spouting off something that country didn't care for, got jailed and everything, we'd be getting his ass out. We'd be doing everything we can to be like, no, that's ours, because we believe in freedom in this country, and he's an American, so his freedom's protected by us, we're going to go get him. And it's like, well, then it should go the other way around, because you should, for example, like this. You're saying this is, what he was saying was in conflict of not even our national security, but our national interests and policies. Again, interests.
Yeah. Well, if he was interpreted as supporting a terrorist
organization. But he's saying it, but it's interest. It's still interest.
Yeah.
So he's snatched and grabbed. But again, it's okay for an American with a swastika and a Sieg Heil on his face marching down the street with his buddies. And nothing, it goes, you can't have it both ways where it's okay there and not okay here.
This goes back to the question, should anybody, regardless of citizenship, be entitled to the exact same civil rights?
I'll say yes. You know why? Here's a great example for it. Remember when Tucker Carlson went to Russia last year?
Yes.
Do you remember him explaining why he went?
Please recap.
Okay, so he just came back from Russia, had a fun day with Putin, and he was talking about why he went there in the first place, and he was just spouting off ideas one day, saying like, okay, I got fired again, so I'm going to start a podcast, and I want to interview some people. He's just throwing names on the board. And Putin's name is gone there. He's like, hey, that'd be kind of cool to do it, right? Hey, whatever. And then someone just said to him, yeah, it's not going to happen. Why? There is no way we're going to get you into Russia in and out safely and all that. That's just a no. Well, I'm an American, and I can do what I want because I believe in freedom, and I have the right to go anywhere in the world because I'm an American. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to Russia, by God damn it, and I'm going to talk to Putin because I'm an American. That there just says it all.
Well, keep in mind, he also had backing from...
His thought process was, mm-hmm. I'm an American, I have the freedom to go wherever I want and talk to whoever I want because mm-hmm. I'm an American. So, with that mindset, I'm an American, Travis. I should be able to go to fucking anywhere in the world and say whatever the fuck I want out loud on the street. Happy and carefree, because I can do it in my home country, America, where freedom of speech is allowed.
But in that case,
our foreign visitors who are either working here, trying to live here, or hanging out here, then should get the same treatment, because I expect myself to get that treatment in the world. Duh!
I mean, this goes back to my borders is stupid ramble, where I'm like...
episode one.
Yeah, way back in episode one, where, you know, because I mean, the rationale is like, well, every place in the world should have freedom of speech and freedom of expression. It's not the case. There are countries that highly restrict that.
There's a majority of the countries that just suck dick.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'll say that. Ours is right in there because there's certain parts of this country that you and I can't walk into without getting jumped, and we know it.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, we should be gearing towards and striving towards that. Who gives a damn whose flag is flying? We want all these great freedoms and rights that we brag about here in this country. The mm-hmm. rest of the world should follow suit to that, because we would happily treat your people the same way, as long as you're not throwing people in ovens and killing them.
Yeah. No, we're gonna conquer your Arctic territory, semi-autonomous territory, because...
And put a hotel on Gaza, I guess. I guess that's one thing that's happening.
And hotels in Greenland and...
Yeah, see, so that's, yeah, I guess to keep saying yes to your question, yes, because I should be allowed to freely travel this world to visit, to work, make money, you know, everything like that, mm-hmm. because then that's the whole point of this country. Did we say it in episode one again? Because you brought up the borders thing. It's called a global market, and that's a global market means you're free to kind of just...
I mean, I am of the feeling, I am of the view that...
Especially in this point in this world.
That, like, in this world, a human being should be able to go wherever he wants on the planet, so long as the space that he is on does not fringe on the space of others, you know.
And just don't be an asshole.
Don't steal somebody's home.
Yeah, and don't be an asshole, too. Just hang out.
Yeah, and
just hang out, hang around.
Now I'm gonna let something on about something I incoherently feel that is controversial to some. There are other European countries that have stricter laws. They're like democracies, and I would say probably healthier democracies than ours, but they do have stricter laws on freedom of speech regarding like hate speech and stuff. Like Germany has rules about you can't show the swastika in public. You cannot revive the Nazi movement. That doesn't mean people don't try. That's why their second most populated party in the in their legislature right now is the Alternative for Deutschland, known as the AfD, which is the most... the closest thing Germany has come to a thriving Nazi political movement since the end of World War II. But I somewhat kind of sympathize with the idea that, you know, the existence of hate speech in and of itself can be harmful in that it can make spaces unsafe. it can make an entire country unsafe. I haven't fully reconciled in my mind if such restrictions are ultimately a good thing, or is that the beginning of a slippery slope? I mean, obviously for those countries, you could just look at them like, well, they seem to be doing okay. I guess it's not a slippery slope to authoritarianism for them. But, you know, is that, you know, is the First Amendment too freeing?
I would say, I get what you're going. I think so at the same time, because, okay, speaking of this, hate speech does no good at all. Hell, being hateful just in general just puts your blood pressure up. So obviously it's not healthy medically.
Yeah.
But okay, so it'd be great to get rid of hate speech and abolish it, make it illegal and all that crap. And then people I've heard say, well, if you start that off, then who knows what could be labeled as hate speech. And I'm like this. I would say that speech that doesn't involve putting people in ovens, graves, and trees probably isn't hate speech.
And given how...
Because I hate hipsters. Doesn't mean I want them dead. I just hate hipsters.
And given how totally insane our government is right now, I can come around to the idea that I do not want to venture into trusting the government with any sort of authority right that. Not at this time. I do not think we're in a healthy place to do that. Apparently, vandalizing somebody's Tesla is considered an act of domestic terrorism. You know, drawing a I hate Musk with spray paint on a Tesla dealer, you could be charged with terrorism for that, or at least that's what they want to do.
You know how dangerous that is, though? Because you're saying, because it's not like someone vandalized a Tesla saying, I hate America, or I, you know what I mean? Or even, I hate it, like California, or I hate New York, like a state.
Mm-hmm.
They said someone's name who's not even a politician. They just said, I hate Elon. If someone did that to a Tesla 7 years ago, 6 years ago, this wouldn't be called terrorism. The fact that this basically a billionaire who's just helping out with our government can now be labeled as, if you attack him in any way, it's terrorism. That's a slippery slope right there.
Yeah.
He's not a politician even.
Well, and it just comes to show the bullshit nature of the word terrorism, and that
at this point, unfortunately,
like it basically can just mean whatever you want it to mean. Now, I'm going to say right now, I do not recommend that you vandalize a Tesla or blow it up. I do not recommend that. For one thing, most people that drive at least like the earlier Teslas, Cybertruck to be determined, but most people that drive like normal Teslas are like libs. And they bought the Tesla because they thought, you know, oh, you know, I'm being green. I'm doing my part to reduce emissions. And I am going to encourage other people to do that. So, you know, maybe don't ruin somebody's day like that. And regardless, vandalizing somebody's car is still illegal. It always has. It's not like it never was illegal. It's just that now they're trying to lodge this terrorism thing to, you know, basically ruin people's lives, add longer prison sentences, and it's just like a terrible deterrent.
Remember when Republicans were buying Nike gear and destroying it on TikTok and YouTube? And also, too...
Buy a Tesla so you can destroy it on camera.
I know. And you know what's even, like, what I'm thinking about now? By the way, I think Tesla drivers are prissy drivers. You guys need to share the road a bit better. That's what I said. That's right, Tesla drivers. Share the road better. But also, too, like, again, they're vandalizing a car by writing a dude's name on it. It's described terrorism. It's like, it's not even the president's name. It's a tech support dude, because he's even calling himself tech support.
In fairness, I think Elon would not be there without Trump, without Trump being convinced.
He's not become an official political figure yet.
No, which, I mean, that's like shady unto itself.
That's what I'm saying. The layers of this onion just suck.
Back to my original point, I am curious about the idea of maybe having formal legal restrictions of hate speech could be a good idea. I haven't come to a solid conclusion in my head as to whether or not it's a good idea. It's just something I've been thinking about. That being said, as it stands right now in this country, you can say anything you want, so long as you don't, like, literally, like, physically hurt people. And if that is a freedom that is granted constitutionally to U.S. citizens. I am of the fundamental belief that that is a right, as with any other right, it should be granted to everybody who has their foot in this country. And one of those rights that everyone should have access to is due process. Everyone, if they're accused of doing a crime, well, what is a crime to one person should be a crime to for any person.
No black bags.
No, or like a class thing, like, you know, rich people can steal from us all the time, but if a poor people steals, oh, you're going to jail for a few years, buddy. You know, it should be afforded to everyone. But you know, if you're an immigrant, or if you're undocumented, or I guess now you're a green card holder, they could just cancel your green card for whatever reason.
Don't worry, they won't cancel the gold card.
Or will they?
Yeah.
Do you really want to trust that? I wouldn't. Because they could just make, they've fully come around to the premise that we can just make shit up and say what is law and what isn't law, whatever we feel like it. It's solely up to us. You know, there's no principles. It's just what we feel like. I don't think that's a good thing. I like the idea of everybody having a right to a free and fair trial.
You know, when you speak about the deportations and basically just the right to be.
Mm-hmm.
It makes,
the right to be. I love how you phrase that.
It makes me think of like how I have seen deportations and how we treat certain people who come into this country. It's honestly, it just makes me think of that one scene from Gangs of New York when Bill the Butcher, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, is talking to Tammany Hall. I forget the actor's name. He's a British actor who plays Tammany Hall. He's great in everything. Mm-hmm. He's talking about at that point of the time, this is during the height of the Civil War, all the Irish are coming over. All the Irish are coming over on their quote-unquote potato boats, and Bill the Butcher is not happy about it with his nationalism, isolationism. And he's pissed about it because, again, money. And he put it, he unfortunately put it perfectly by saying,
Irish hops do a job for a nickel what a does for a dime and a white man used to get a quarter for.
So why the fuck would I want them in here, these Irish? And in my head, I'm like, is it just money? Because when you think about the way people have come in and out of this country and how we treated certain people, you know, okay, when the Civil War ended and we gave, you know, blacks in America the freedom, they made 10 cents on the dollar compared to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Irish came in during the famine and how they were treated, and every Irish person who's there who says, like, you know, I did it the right way, my ancestors did it the right way. Yeah, you know what? When your ancestors were doing it the right way, they were still being attacked and hunted down. And you did the same labor job for 5 cents. You know what happened after that, Travis? When the Chinese came over to help build the railroads, you know how much they got paid? A fucking penny. And then after that, Mexicans, who are right now the Hispanics being deported, as we all know, whether criminal or not, we have yet to see because it still doesn't work.
Hispanics and Middle Eastern folks.
So Brown. When Brown came over, you know what they got charged for their labor? A peso. So it's just baffling to me how it comes down to money, because how we treat each other when it involves money, the interest. Well, we want Greenland because it'll make us a lot of money. We'll have you over here now to do some labor work for us, whether it's be, you know, railroads, construction of, you know, the Empire State Buildings and our working our fields, but we're going to pay you less than an American citizen. But after that, and during that time you're working for us, we're going to fucking make your life hell. And then after it's done, we're going to want you the fuck out of here, even though you helped this country out. So again, folks, all this bullshit comes down to basically an extra dollar in the pocket of the 1%, because it's money. Because I know I've said this a bunch of times, and I'll keep quoting Ralphie May, because that fat, funny motherfucker was right.
There's not that much difference between white and black, okay? The truth of the matter is, it's rich and poor. Like where I grew up in Arkansas, there was no black or white. We're all broke, okay? What's your color? Poor, okay? You
know? Yes. I got debt, but I still love going shopping at Kohl's. God damn, man. At this point, like, the global market's supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? We have... the global market's supposed to be fun. We have a nice-size manga collection in our fucking Barnes & Nobles now. This is a good time. It's supposed to be a good time. There's manga at Barnes & Nobles, guys. When you're supposed to... Like, it's supposed to be fun. Stupidity all around. Just keep your head on a swivel. There's no point for this bullshit. Hopefully it'll end. Hopefully it'll end.
I'll just leave you with some advice. If you are ever contacted by an ICE agent for whatever reason, you don't know anything. You were born yesterday. You don't know the answers to any of their questions. If they ask to search for your house, ask for a warrant. And there's a difference between an administrative and judicial warrant. Look that up. If they show you an administrative warrant, it's bullshit. And have a lawyer. Have a number to call if you feel like you need legal representation. Even if that number is your mom and you want your mom to do the work for you, call your mom. That's what I'll do. You don't know shit. And they can't do shit to you. If your friend gets apprehended by government agents in a very shady manner, like there's no warrant, they're wearing plain clothes, they have unmarked cars, record it on your phone. Post it online. Put that shit for all to see, because that shit's going to be used in court as evidence. You want to have that evidence. This is the time to be vigilant, everybody. So that's my best advice to you. We complain a lot in this podcast, but I don't just want it to be us complaining that everything sucks. I want to leave you with something that says, it's like, well, we can make this better. Surely this podcast is just one avenue to motivate you and ourselves.
It takes a village,
folks. To make things better.
It takes a village. It takes a village to build up. It takes a village to destroy. So I don't know. Let's just start building, because there's a lot of hands. Let's work together. So again, and you know what, everyone? Say good morning to the next person you see tomorrow. Try it out. Who gives a fuck? Just say good morning. Even if they don't say it back to you, just say it. Well, that's.
You
I think
close
that's
it there.
Yeah, I think that's our episode. That was a. So I had a fun conversation.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. So I was surprised how little pauses we had on this car ride.
Maybe the car ride should be our thing now. Might be some gas money, but hey.
Well, yeah. Well, hopefully there's no reading because I get motion sickness in the car when I read. Anyway, if you want to find me on Instagram, handle is musicalnotextr. If you want to see what books I'm reading or want to see cute pictures of my puppy, if you want to find Tom on social media, you can't. So don't even try.
I'm a troglodyte and I enjoy it. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us, huh? Thanks again. Honestly, it still means a lot to us, to everyone who listens. We are having fun, even through our complaints and gripes, because it's two best friends just hanging out, and that's all that matters to me. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.